Well, now, the final word in this dedication ceremony falls to one who is the logical person to perform this little ceremony, my own director, Dr. John S. Hodgson, whom I introduce to you now. Dr. Hodgson.
Thank you. What Mr. Thompson didn't say is that really I'm a substitute. When this ceremony was first proposed, it was our hope that our minister, the Honorable Jean-Luc Pepin, would be able to come out, and he himself wanted to be able to come out. But as you can imagine, the life of a politician this particular season is a little bit occupied, and when we actually tried to pin it to him that he should come out and officiate at this ceremony, he wasn't able to do it. He has asked me, however, to express his very sincere good wishes and appreciation to the people who have done so much, our own staff who have done so much to make this opening a success and to get this going, and to wish them success in their work, and to the Royal Astronomical Society who has had a very active part in arranging this ceremony. He also, I know, would want me to express his thanks to our colleagues from Britain and from the United States who have done so much to help us and who have had the courtesy to send their senior people to this ceremony. We are all very appreciative of that. Various speakers up until now have been very loosely throwing around the word continental drift. And when you stand here, if you were looking the way I am and see those mountains, it sounds a little absurd, really, continental drift. And this is a thing that I think, as a geophysicist, I might say a word about. A long time ago, a man named Wegener looked the shape of the Atlantic coast of North and South America versus Europe and Africa, and noted that if these things sort of were pushed together like a jigsaw puzzle, they did fit together very well. And he found a certain resemblance of fossils in the two sides of the Atlantic, various other sorts of data, and he advanced the hypothesis that the continents were drifting apart, and that the Atlantic Ocean was the result of these continents having drifted apart. This theory was more and more shot down until by the time I was a graduate student, anybody who believed in continental drift was a real square, or whatever. I'm not sure what a square was called when I was an undergraduate, but that's what they were. Well, then the paleomagneticians came along, and under the influence of their work, this whole subject was given a new lease of life. When rocks are deposited, are formed, either by being deposited in the ocean or by being settling out from a molten magma, the small magnetic particles making up those rocks tend to align themselves in the direction of the existing magnetic field. And if you can come along a few billion years later and find that rock, and if you can assure yourself that it hasn't been turned over or had this sort of thing out here done to it so that you can know that it hasn't changed its position, and if you pick it out very carefully and take it to your laboratory and measure the residual magnetism in it, and this is a very complicated and difficult thing to do, then you can determine what the magnetic field was when that rock was formed. And of course, from the geological dating of it, you know when the rock was formed. So by doing this, you can, so to speak, find the direction in which the North Magnetic Pole was back at the beginning of the Precambrian. And if you can do this from a large number of places around, say, North America, you begin to get a fix on the position of the pole at the beginning of whatever time you're dealing with. Now, this work was done all over the world, and if you consider the data from, for example, again, North America, you found that it was possible to trace the path of the North Magnetic Pole through geologic time. And I didn't look up any reference books before I came, so if I'm slightly off in what I say, don't hold it against me. But roughly speaking, the North Magnetic Pole at the end of the Paleozoic, at the end of the Precambrian, was somewhere around Hawaii. And it began to move, and it moved toward the continent of Asia, hit the coast of China somewhere around northern Japan, moved up through China and Siberia, came back across the Arctic Ocean until it reached the position that it is now. Well, this was a pretty nasty thing for a lot of different disciplines to live with and explain, but worse was still to come. Because when you studied the equivalent data from, say, Europe, you found that just as you got a pass, say something like this, from European stations, you got a pass, say something like this, from European ones. But while they had a common point up here, they had a different path down here. In other words, the poles, which had to be the same pole, obviously, it ended up at the same place, but its path, apparently, was different. Now, how could you explain this? Well, if you stop and think about it, the only way you can explain it is that between the time that those rocks were laid down and the time that the geomagnetician came along with his little hammer, the grass on which these two rocks were existing had drifted apart. So you were right back into the theory of continental drift. There's a great deal of work being done in paleomagnetism, and a great deal remains to be done, and there are very many doubts. But I think the geophysicists now, while they recognize a lot of problems that remain to be solved, do, again, regard the theory of continental drift as almost a necessity or some variation of it. All of these measurements, of course, are, in a sense, indirect. And the thing that is really necessary to clinch this sort of an observation is exactly the sort of thing that we've been hearing about today. If this raft on which we are situated is drifting with respect to the raft that Hirschmanto is situated, then, and if we can find it with these two instruments, we will have done something which will be of the most fundamental importance in geophysical observation. Because our observatory and our branch is and has always been equally involved in geophysics and in astronomy, it is a most happy ceremony for me to be able to participate in.